absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again. Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, I am JT, the Master. And this is the Master Plan. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. The place to be if you want to talk to me. And it's all the way live here, people. Be right back.
Dude, I can't hear nothing. If your mic is muted or something, I just heard my mic be unmuted, but
hello.
I can't hear you. I got
can you hear me now.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah,
all
that's
right,
why
people.
I hung
all
up
right.
Earlier.
Technical difficulties. I screwed up. No problem. This is JT, a.k.a. the Master, and I didn't have it mastered that time. Anyway, I want to thank you, my brother. I've been talking about the Indiana Pacers and the Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat. Now, like I said, I was talking about Lance Stephenson. He, you know, Larry Bird had talked to him between Game 5 and Game 6, told him to tone it down. He came out and said he did. And he still started his antics. And I was saying, as I was had some technical difficulties and I realized it, that he must think he's playing on the street of New York or something like that, because he is from New York. And he's got a lot of talent, but some of that has to be curbed. And I think he's got one of these things like Dennis Rodman or I'm trying to think of the guy's name on the Birdman in Miami. These guys, when they get on the court, they're a different personality than they are off the court. And a light switch or a genetic flaw that happens just only when you get on the court, they go into a different person and do things that they wouldn't normally do if they were off the court, like blowing in people's ears and doing all kinds of great crazy stuff on the court. Now, it has to be pretty tiring for the Indiana Pacers team, for this guy to be antagonizing supposedly the best player on the planet beginning this series and throughout this series. Why do that when the guy has enough center, if he's the world champ, and then you're going to try to goad him into something that he's not going to fall for? Because he's been one of the better players for a long time, before even joining NBA, when he was high school, when he was playing street ball, whatever. You know, guys tried him because the fact is he was a better player, so they try to get into his head. So why even do it? And I also said, before I let you speak, I also said this. I watched the game. I watched this Miami Heat game, and I'm the last game they played on Thursday against Indiana, and I was surprised. Lance Stephenson and David West, in my opinion, are two of the most mentally tough guys, in my opinion. Now, I could be wrong, on the Indiana Pacers. And I saw no confidence before the first half was over. I saw that they just weren't unsure of themselves. And when I saw that in their face, and I don't know about if I classify it as fear, but there was no confidence that they could win the game. There was no confidence. And if you can't totally buy in with those guys, the rest of the team, what I think is young and dumb, like I had talked about these two series, it's funny. Both these series are almost identical. Young guns, a lot of athletic ability, probably better teams, but in between the ears, they aren't. And that's the key. In between the ears, they aren't. Both of these teams. Talk to me first about the Miami Heat, and I know you're going to say, I told you so, but go ahead.
Nah, I'm going to say I totally disagree with you.
Oh.
I just absolutely, fundamentally, totally disagree with you. The only part I agree with you is that Stephenson and what's that other guy, the power forward, the one you just
David
said?
David West.
Are the, you know, two most mentally tough dudes on that team. You know, mm-hmm. I think that whole mob is soft, except for those two dudes.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that whole team is soft without those mm-hmm. two dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a problem with Stephenson doing that. I really didn't.
Really?
And
really?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because the one knock that I have about LeBron James, which is the reason why I just will not be, you know, one of these LeBron lovers, is he's soft. He is soft. You know what I mean? And
really?
Stephenson, yeah, that dude is soft, man. That dude is soft. I mean, look at how he just tries to pull everything together to get you to like him. That's soft, man. You know what I'm saying? Kobe
mm-hmm.
don't care. Mike don't care. Will Chamberlain don't care. Bill Russell don't care. You know what I mean? These dudes
mm-hmm.
don't care. You know what I'm saying? No. I mean, the dude is blessed with the talent, and he is mentally tough enough to be the world champion that he is. And I don't take any of that from him. But he's still soft to me. I still see
mm-hmm.
softness there. And when you're going up against a dude like that, and there's absolutely nothing you can do with him. What you gonna do with him? I mean, you know, you got your whole. You look around and your whole team is soft, and you're the only one that's stepping up and doing something. But everybody got a problem with it because of the outcome, because they lost. But to me, he and sometimes West were the only ones that stood up. They're the only ones that stood up. Hibbert, oh, my God, that dude is a big bowl of chocolate pudding.
Yeah.
Big bowl of chocolate pudding. And then Paul George, God bless him, the dude got talent. But if he gets some hot, it'll be over. It will be over. But the only dude I saw out there, you know, still shooting, still, you know, irritating, still doing his due with Stephenson. Because he knew, he could smell it. He could smell it. So he tried it, but it didn't work. It didn't work. It used to work for Boston. Boston used to get all up in LeBron's head. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? They used to just
mm-hmm.
they used to just torture him. And what's the name? Knew it. He still was carrying it like that. The truth. He was still carrying it like that. If you remember back in that series, he was talking mad junk. Then LeBron
right.
just came back and just shut them all up like he did them in the Boston game. But that was learned behavior. You know what I'm saying? It was learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You never had to do that with Mike. You know what I'm saying? Mike had to school his boy to get his boy mentally tough to take on the Pistons. Beat them so bad, them Bammers left the, they left the court. He left the court. You know what I'm saying? But the Heat beat them. They beat them. They beat them. They took them out to the woodshed and beat them down. I said this in the other show that I don't see how this team is going to beat them because they're too mentally mature and tough for them. There's absolutely no way. There's only one team that's mentally and talent-wise that can compete with them, and that's this team that they about to go up against in the Spurs, because it's definitely not the Pacers. Absolutely not. I don't even think the Pacers, if they were in the Western Conference, I don't even think they could have beat Golden State. You know what I'm saying? I don't even think they could have beat them. Seriously. I ain't going to say you told you. I just disagree with you. I think that, you know, and Larry Bird got his nerve. He got a lot of nerve because he talked a lot of crap. He talked a lot of crap. And you know, what was the irritant for him was his color. You know what I'm saying? We didn't like him. We didn't like him because of who he was. And then he would talk smack like us. So he didn't stop.
Let me ask you something. Now, like I said earlier, Lance Stephenson is a free agent. He's like 23, 24 years old. I imagine that there's going to be some people going after him. But with his behavior, and this is key because the fact is this could be red flags for teams not to grab him because of the way he conducted himself throughout the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat. He's going to be a free agent. And Paul George, in his last press conference, didn't really give him a ringing endorsement of having Lance Stephenson get signed, I guess, to a long-term contract or whatever contract they signed him to. Do you think Indiana is going to re-sign him or want to re-sign him, or is he going to be tested on the market?
I don't know what's going to happen, but they'd be foolish not to sign him. They'd be real foolish not to sign him because Paul George, he got the talent, but he ain't got the heart. I don't see it. I see no heart. I see all up and down, still trying to figure it out. Give me somebody that's going, you know, that's going to go through a brick wall by any means necessary. And that's that dude, Stevens. Any team would be foolish to pass him up. Seriously. Any team.
Even with the so-called baggage that he may comes with. Because let me put this out there. I've watched him more than once, and he has a tendency, when he gets the ball, nobody else counts on the court. When he gets the ball, he gets a little bit out of control, and he's turnover prone when he does get the ball and figures that he's the only one on the court. He's going to be 1-on-5. You think teams, even though he's got a lot of talent, and he does, be able to want to bring him into the organization, whatever organization, and put up or have to put up with some of his flaws versus some of his upside?
I mean, that's for them teams to try to figure out. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'll say this. His team was in the Eastern Conference Final. You know what I'm saying? Mine
mm-hmm.
what?
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So I don't know, but if I was a GM, I would definitely take him. I would definitely take him. Definitely take him. It's gonna take the right type of mentality to bring in a dude like that. I mean, he's of the ilk of like the old New York Knicks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the Detroit Pistons and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
He's of that
mm-hmm.
ilk. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And that's just how he plays. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like I told y'all, like, man, I know about a half a million dudes like him. Half a million dudes like him. Half a million. All of them out here in D.C. They will get up under your skin, and as soon as they figure out that you irritated or you got a problem with it, oh, they gonna amp it up. But if it don't work, it just don't work. You know, it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. He got beat. Either way, he was going to get beat. In my opinion, either way. So at least he tried something.
All right. Well, we're going to transition from the 4-2 Eastern Conference Finals to the 4-2 Western Conference Finals. Now, I think, and I said this earlier while my technical difficulty was going on, I think these two teams. The two series were almost identical, as in the old experienced vets, no matter how many of them there were, it happens to be the big three on both sides in this case, against the young and rising stars with a lot of ability. And this is in my opinion, both these young teams had better ability, better physical ability, but the mental part is, I think, what got both these young teams. And for lack of a better word, I said it was the older, experienced vets against the young and dumb Indiana Pacers and Oklahoma City Thunders. Because this is just a repeat from last year, and it's obvious that experience won out on both ends of this. Miami against Indiana and OKC against the San Antonio Spurs. And for San Antonio Spurs to win the game on the court of Oklahoma City, which they haven't won in God knows how long, even though it went into overtime, these guys, I'm telling you, I don't know how they do it because they're old as, and excuse my language on a Sunday, but they're old as shit, and they go up against whoever, and come out on top. Now they didn't do it last season against Miami, and I think that was an anomaly. I think that's not going to happen this year. But what's your thoughts on OKC against the San Antonio Spurs last game, and even though they lost in overtime, they have the same problem. They're not mentally tough enough, because I think they sure enough have the ability and have the players to do it. I think it's in between the ears, just like it's Indiana. Maybe not so much, but I think it's still in between the ears that they're totally not convinced that they can beat the San Antonio Spurs to be able to get to the finals. Talk to me.
Kevin Durant is going through what LeBron James went through, man. He got to get down in the paint, man. He do.
Mm-hmm.
7 feet tall, he need to bulk up, man. It's no reason for them to be putting some 6'5", 6'4" guard on him, checking him. That don't even make no sense, man. That don't even make no sense, man. He need to work it out and get down low. He gotta get his game complete. He can't, and that's just the start. And that's just the start of, like, the whole mental process. The only person's mental process is fine is Westbrook's.
Mm-hmm.
He the only one. His is fine. You want, as a matter of fact, if everybody had Westbrook's mentality on that team, they would be in the finals right now, and they would be a problem for the Heat. But San Antonio is just, you know, they got the right mix. You know, they got the right mix of older, experienced, and mentally tough men and younger guys, and they are coached very well. Now, in order for them to win this series, Pop has got to coach a perfect game. He's got to coach a perfect game. He's got to out-coach Spoelstra, because Spoelstra out-coached him. He out-coached him last year. I don't think it was an anomaly. He got out coached, and he got shocked that he was out coached, and a little embarrassed. He was a little, he was literally a little bit embarrassed. You know what I mean? But that's what this is going to come down to, man. I mean, because you've got the best player in the world. You know what I'm saying? Going up against, you know, some world-class talent. And these dudes are world-class. Timmy Duncan is definitely a Hall of Famer, world-class athlete. Parker's a world-class athlete, even though I don't like him. Ginobili's a world-class athlete, even though I don't like him. But, and then the role players, man, they just stepping up and doing exactly what they supposed to do. They are going to have their hands full with Mr. James. They're going to have their hands full with him. They're going to have to, but Pop is going to have to out-coach Spoelstra. He's going to have to. That's what this is going to come down to, because the Heat, they mentally tough. So the Spurs, that's a wash. Even talent-wise, you give a slight edge to the to LeBron, but you got more all-around talent going over there to the Spurs. So that's pretty much a wash. You know, you got Wade over there, and he's going to be on it. So that's pretty much a wash. You know what I mean? So it's going to come down to coaching. I mean, because there's absolutely no reason why he took Timmy Duncan out and last year, and Bosch wound up getting that rebound and kicking it out to Ray. I mean, that was just a poor coaching. Poor coaching.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, I'm not even going to say poor coaching. It was a bad decision that went wrong.
Yeah.
That's all. Mm-hmm. That's all. And he wound up, and he paid the price for it. And that's how close this is going to be. So I'm thinking if Pop coaches a perfect game, he can't be half-stepping, he can't be sleeping, he can't be bullshitting with Spoelstra, because he's the real deal. He is the real deal. He coaches them boys up. He put them in the right place at the right time. And they got Rashard Lewis shooting. Slim, it's over. It's over. Because I was always wondering, like, man, why are they treating this dude like a stepchild? This dude is an all-star. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, This dude can shoot. You know what I'm saying? He can shoot the lights out. I remember one time watching him play against the Buzzards. That Bama hit 11 threes in a row. The whole night he played like 36 minutes. He didn't miss a shot. I think he took about 18 shots. He was 18 for 18. You know what I'm saying? And he was hitting everything at the free throw. So I was just baffled at why they treating him like a stepchild, man. Let that dude shoot. They start letting him shoot. So I don't know. This is gonna be a really good series. I'm not gonna miss not one of these games, because I've been spotty on each one of these games for real.
Same here.
You know, I pretty much knew who was gonna get there, but I'm not missing any of these games, buddy. You can best believe that.
Well, let me ask you something, because you had brought it up a little earlier. The coach of Miami Heat doesn't get
no respect.
He doesn't get no respect for one, and doesn't get, I guess, as much credit as he probably warranted. It mainly, I guess, falls on the players for. I mean, they're the ones doing it, but he's got to handle all the egos that are on his team, for one, and quite naturally, he's got to do some type of coaching, and for them to buy into his coaching in order to be able to get them where they've been for the last 4 years. It's unprecedented that this team, four years straight, and I gotta give it to him. I don't care what Max says. I don't care what a lot of haters of LeBron and the Miami Heat say, you got to give him props. 4 years straight.
You definitely do.
Going to the NBA Finals, and you have to think that throughout those 4 years, regular season and playoffs, that the head coach had a lot to do with that. So Eric Bolstra, I don't know if you call him an unsung hero or whatever, but he's the man that runs the ship besides Pat Riley, quite nasty, being the president. But he's the one that's basically in the trenches with these guys, getting them to do what he wants them to do, year in and year out, regular season and playoffs. And it's got them to the fourth in a row NBA championship with a chance to win their third championship in a row. So I got to give him props. And what's your thoughts on Eric Bolstra and him not getting as much credit as you see him now? I mean, they got to be talking about him now about one of the best coaches around. So I mean, it shouldn't be any question about it.
I don't even think they're going to do that. I mean, this young man is the Rodney Dangerfield of the NBA, man. Seriously.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for all you that's an older reference for all you young kids. You can go ahead and Google him. You know what I'm saying? See what I'm talking about. But for real, I mean, just the way he had to handle Dwayne Wade this year. You know what I'm saying? That you know, spoke volumes to me. I think the only slip I seen in his armor was Rashard Lewis, because I mean they were just treating him like a little stepchild out there. They just was using his height and his length, which is cool or whatever. But let that dude shoot. You know, they didn't do that until they had to. You know, they didn't. When the Birdman was hurt or whatever, and they knew they needed some more points or whatever, they started kicking the ball to him. So, I mean, that's the only thing that I had a problem with. But other than that, I mean, he's been really, really good. He's been really good. I mean, he's worked with LeBron and got LeBron in position to where he needs to be, coaches him up. I mean, this dude is good, you know, and I don't subscribe to the thinking that, you know, just because he's got the greatest player on the planet, he's not a great coach. You know, there's a formula for success. You know what I mean? There's a formula for success, especially as a champion. You know what I mean? You've got to have world-class talent. I'm sorry. It just you've got to have it. You
right.
know what I mean? I mean, it just doesn't work without it. You're not going to win an NBA title without at least either the best player or one of the top five best players in the league to win the championship. It's not going to happen. So, I give him all the respect due. You know, Riley put together the team. You know what I'm saying? And he, you know, Spoelstra was a disciple of him. And, you know, I think he's good. I think he's really good. I think he's very, very much legitimate. You know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't mess around. If I was him, I really wouldn't mess around. I'd carry it just like Phil Jackson. You don't have one of the best players in the world. I ain't coaching you. I'm not doing it.
Right.
I ain't even doing it. You call me in when you got like the best player in the world and you can't win a championship. I'll come in then. Call me in, Dr. Phil.
Well, speaking of, since you said Dr. Phil, let me go back this way then. Speaking of that, and I know you don't like New York basketball. I know you don't like New York. That's okay. That's fine. Phil Jackson came out and said that he wasn't concerned about Carmelo Anthony leaving, but then he turned around in the same conversation and wanted him to, take a hometown discount and He basically said that he wasn't going to lose any sleep if Carmelo Anthony left, but he also said that he wanted him to stay in not so uncertain terms. He wanted him to stay in the worst way, and hopefully he can work something out and him taking less money. Your thoughts, Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks. Does he stay or does he go?
I don't know, but you seen that dude's wife, man?
Who, Yaya?
Yeah, you seen her? You see how she dress, how she get down?
Oh yeah.
I don't know if Slim's gonna take a hometown discount, Slim.
He gotta pay for that.
So, Oh no.
That's high maintenance, man.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, that's just going off the surface, but.
And she's no dummy. She's no dummy, and she's a shrewd businesswoman, too. So,
you're
right about that.
I mean, but I don't know. Phil, you know, Phil is a real sharp dude. I'm kind of surprised that he's doing that double talk and then letting his inner thoughts out like that. You know, hoping he'd take a hometown discount and he's not going to lose no sleep over, da-da-da-da. If that's the case, Phil, shut up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't give the media nothing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Don't give them anything.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You give them something when you feel like giving them something, but don't give them that. Come on, Phil, you know better than that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I think
that's his coaches speak versus him being president speak. You know what I'm saying? There's two different ways, you know, that you got to handle things. A coach, you have a little bit more latitude. A president, you got to be a little bit more reserved on what you say because it carries, even though you're Phil Jackson and versus a coach versus a president of basketball operations, it carries more weight when you're the president because you're the president versus a coach. So you have to temper what you say because the media and, quite naturally, other players, especially Melo, are listening to what you have to say.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And then, you know, no disrespect to Melo because I like that dude, man. I really do. But he want his ass kissed, man. He do. He wants his little prima donna ass kissed, and he wants to just jack up shots all game long, which ain't a bad thing because a lot of them shots go to hell. Okay, ain't gonna front, you know. And, he one of them dudes that got the heart, but he needs help, man. He needs somebody that can dish the ball to him, and he need another dude to help him out, man. He need a mob. You know what I'm saying? He needs some super friends like LeBron.
What about a fellow New Yorker coming to the Knicks?
That might be cool. If Phil want to bring, you know, so that bad boy image down there, but I don't think Phil want to get down like that. I think Phil want to get that triangle offense over there popping. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking that's what he's trying to do and figure out who's going to do the coaching for that. That's what I'm thinking he's trying to do. I think that's more so what he meant by he's not losing any sleep over, because what he's losing sleep over is who's going to install his philosophy down in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm thinking that's what it is. And if Melo's going to come along for a pay cut, good. If not, so what? You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to build this thing from the ground. I could be wrong, but, you know, he could have said that. You know.
Well, Speaking of coach, Steve Kerr went to Golden State Warriors. Was originally supposedly had not a handshake or whatever, but a verbal agreement or whatever. Because I think it came out, Phil said that he had made a commitment, but it wasn't on paper. And then the Golden State offer came up to him, and Phil supposedly gave his blessing and said, even if it's better offered, you got to take a look at it. And quite naturally, Steve Kerr went that route to the Golden State Warriors. Now, Phil Jackson supposedly, for all intents and purposes, and lack of any better words, is scrambling to try to find a coach that can install his offense that he can mold and that is available. There was talk of Brian Shaw, but Brian Shaw is the coach of the Denver Nuggets, if I'm not mistaken. And in order for him to be pulled away from there, they would have to give up some draft picks, which the Knicks surely wouldn't want to give up because they don't have that many, especially the first round draft pick to give up. And if you're trying to build something, you wouldn't want to do that anyway for a coach. Talk is that Derek Fisher, now he's available now because OKC's out of the picture, may be a strong candidate to be the new coach of the Knicks. Your thoughts, Derek Fisher. Head coach, I guess he quite naturally leaves the playing ranks and becomes the head coach of the New York Knicks. I'm a little skeptical about it because I know he probably has the smarts, but does he have the disposition to be a coach now?
I don't know, but, you know, it falls in line with, you know, Phil's thinking. You know, he's one of his guys. And, you know, he wants that inside triangle. I mean, I'm sorry, that triangle offense to be installed. And then he's going to have one of his guys. I'm not mad at Steve Kerr. I mean, you could just look at that mob over there in Golden State and see it's something to work with. And then it's out there in California and whatnot. And, you know, apparently he's got some ties to the, you know, family-wise to the owners. So, you know, that's a good look for him all the way around. So I wasn't upset with him at all. But, you know, I mean, sometimes you got to take a chance. I mean, I don't think, you know, I like Mark Jackson, but he's not a field guy. He's not going to bring that triangle offense in there. You know, Mark's going to come in there. He's going to run his show his way. You know what I'm saying, Mama? There go that man. You know what I'm saying? That's how he gonna get down. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? Mark should get a phone call, man. He really should get a phone call because I really think he did one hell of a job with that mob down there. You know, I think he did a hell of a job down there. But I don't see anything wrong with him. I mean, sometimes you got to take a shot in the dark, you know what I mean? Jason Kidd, you know, jumped out there, and he got his team to the semifinals or whatever, you know. And, you know, Mark Jackson was out there, you know, before he did it, and it wasn't known. And now you got Kerr and everybody just so, you know, so giddy about him. I mean, why not? Why not? Take a shot.
Okay.
Derek Shaw... Yeah, he over there drowning in Denver. If he wanna, for real, all Phil got to do is just wait, because I think they gonna toss him up out of there.
Yeah, well, you probably have a point there. I'm gonna stay in the NBA because this has been going on for a few weeks ever since he put his foot in his mouth. Talking about the LA Clippers. I don't know if we talked about this. In fact, I think it broke when we were on the air on Thursday, and I saw it just as we went off the air on Thursday that the NBA approved the former CEO of Microsoft to buy the LA Clippers for $2 billion. And one of the stipulations was that this would absolve the league of any litigation by anybody wanting to sue, including Donald Sterling, who in fact is trying to sue the NBA for $1 billion. So your thoughts. Steve Ballmer, like I said, former Microsoft CEO, is going to got a bid to win the to buy the L.A. Clippers, subject to, quite naturally, to the approval from the league owners. And also, they canceled the meeting that they were supposed to have for a vote on whether to oust Sterling or not. This supersedes it. So, your thought of this guy who is, I guess, from the Seattle area, basically, but said that he's not moving L.A. Clippers to Seattle.
That'd probably be a good move, move him right out of there, move him right into Seattle.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. So, but your thoughts on him, this guy buying the L.A. Clippers and Sterling being interest being terminated, and along with that, they can't. No one can sue.
Well, I think this is going to be a long, dragged out process. This is not going to be an easy slam dunk for the NBA. And anybody that thinks that, you're kidding yourself. This dude is not going to go away. He's not. This thing's going to get real nasty and ugly. Because what's happening is his wife is trying to seize power from him. You know what I'm saying? She's trying to seize power from him, sell the team or whatever, and, you know, try to come off like she's trying to save him or whatever. But in actuality, she's stealing it from him, just like the other ladies, you know, just destroyed him. She in effect tried to have him pronounced mentally incompetent by saying that he has dementia or whatever, and mm-hmm. that is being hashed out in the legal, you know, in courts right now, because they're trying to figure out if it's going to be feasible for them to sue, in effect, him suing himself, because he's going to have to sue the Donald Sterling trustee. You know what I'm saying? He's going to have to sue them because they, you know, because of what his wife has done. So this sale, if the NBA is smart, they would just wait and wait until this thing play out, which I think they will, until she has all her I's and T's crossed to do this. But I don't think she's going to be able to do it immediately. It's going to take her a good little while. This guy is going to wreck. And the NBA should be very leery of any suit that he brings, because he has a case. He's got a case. He's got a serious case. They're going to be in trouble if he does. But for real, I would say that I wish he would just, you know, chill out and take his money and go home, but he can't even do that. So I don't see where he has anything to lose now. I don't see where he has anything to lose. So I don't see him stopping the fight, and I don't see this going anywhere for at least a year or so. At least we're gonna be back season with this crap going on.
Let me ask you something. You said he has a case. Give me your thoughts on why you think he has a case.
He has a case because he was not like at a public forum, you know, mouthing off this crap when it started. You know what I'm saying? When it started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when he did the Anderson Cooper thing, that pretty much sealed it, right? Because he was on there saying some, like, inflammatory things, you know, mouthing off that Magic has that AIDS and all that kind of crap or whatever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these owners have said some of the wackiest, craziest stuff. So now that's an issue. So, I think that you can sue for discriminatory practices. you know what I'm saying, and things that have done on action, but there was no action done. The tapes that we heard was all illegal, you know what I mean, all so illegal, it was just ridiculous. But everybody, you know, thinks that now that you know what he's thinking, you know what I'm saying, everybody had a problem with it, and now nobody wants to work with him. But that's the whole problem with the whole NBA. The whole thing is just, they all hypocrites. It just is, and you know, I'm really surprised. Well, I'm not surprised that David Stern is just absolutely moot on this whole thing. He ain't said nothing. Somewhere mm-hmm. in Barbados, chilling. You know what I'm saying? And he is the main. He was one of the main people that just propped this dude up. You know what I'm saying? There's no way that this team would go for $2 billion if David Stern doesn't make that trade for Chris Paul to go there. You know what I mean? It just this team would not be who it was, who it is, or who it was. It just would not work. Absolutely not. I mean, I remember sitting on here debating with my cousin as to who was the two worst ran franchises in the league, and you know, I was stating that the Bullets was the second worst franchise ran in the league. The number one was the Clippers, and he went on this whole tangent about the Clippers did this and the Clippers did that, and you know, I never took it a step further and talked about, you know, the racist owner at the time, because mm-hmm. I knew that conversation would be moot. But this dude has always been that way. He's always been that way.
He's
always fought it. So what would lead anyone to believe that he would not fight again? You know what I mean? This thing is not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. And like I said, the case that he has is, like I said, those tapes were illegal. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like he was out in the public saying that stuff. You know, they asked him to verify if that was him. He said, yeah, that was him. These tapes was garnered illegally. You know, and I'm trying to handle it. When they was like, oh, well, since you admitted that was you, then we got to take action. Nah, Slim, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. That is as if a police officer pull you over, throw some weed in there, and say, yeah, you got some weed in there? Yeah, some weed in here, but, oh, no, the weed's in here. We got to arrest you. But, no, but you threw it in here. It's crazy, man. It's real crazy. So he definitely has a case. He definitely got one.
Okay. All right, well, we come to the near the end of the show, and I want to thank you for coming on the air. I really want to thank you for coming because I would have had technical difficulties for far longer than I realized. But it is what it is. What can I tell you? This is live and in color. What can I tell you? Anyway, you have any closing thoughts before we get the hell out of here?
Nah, man. I have no idea who's going to win this NBA championship. So I got no idea. You know, I think the Spurs are, you know, they are nipping at, they are grinding their gears about last year. So, you know, they in their feelings about that. So they're going to be going at them. But the Heat, on the other hand, they used to everybody coming at them now, saying they're mentally tougher now. So it's going to be a really good series, and I will not miss one. I suggest anyone who likes basketball, follows basketball, fair weather basketball, man, watch all seven of these games because it's going seven games.
I think it's going seven games too. I'm not a real big NBA watcher, but I've been watching some of these playoff games, and just like you, I'm going to be watching every one of these to get every last minute and second out of these so I can see how well these guys are going to go at each other, because I know they're going to go at each other hard. All right, people, we come to the end of the show. I want to thank you for listening. Mikal, I want to thank you for calling. As usual, always good conversation. that we have going back and forth. Tune in next week, same time, same place. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and The Master Plan is out.